Peggy 3.
My name is John McEnroe. Welcome to Top Spin 2K25. We're back and ready to take you on an incredible journey in the world of tennis. I'll be helping you play the greatest sport on earth. All players start here. There's no shortcut to becoming the greatest of all time. You know where to find me. I hope to see you there.
Top Spin 2K25, available 26th of April. Rally on.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Lafondra looking to get courtside of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Umpire Rolls preview show supported by Phantom Brewco. Wow, it is absolutely monumental this weekend, this game against Wigan. It doesn't need to be built up. I would say it's the biggest game in a couple of decades. And to help me talk about this monstrous game, I've been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. How are you doing, James?
Good, thanks, Paul. Ready for the big one against Wigan?
I like that. You've worked on that, haven't you?
No, I can't take credit. It's always AD Williams on Barks, always says. I always remember him saying the big one at Wigan whenever we play Wigan away. It always sticks out. But I think it suits. I don't think the word big one does it justifies just how big a game this is.
Yeah, no, it's just I could swear a lot. I'd say blank, huge. Mate, put in your own swear word there. I mean, I swear quite a lot on this, but I didn't want to do it on that one. Yeah, it's just, we talk about this a lot throughout the season. It's a must win. You must get this one. Well, repeatedly, we failed to do that. Let's not dress it up. But this one is the ultimate must win before a possible one next weekend. But can we do it, James? And what's your feeling? You've been speaking to Noel Hunt today. What's his feeling about it as well? He must be trying to be positive about it, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games where, as a professional, it's one of those occasions where you should really be thriving. I mean, you should be looking forward to being the hero. Someone out there can make themselves a hero with this game. And if you're a professional footballer and you're sort of not wanting it to be you, then I don't think you're in the right job. I mean, there's going to be 22,000 at the game. And there'll be 22,000 people desperate to be out on that pitch and make themselves a hero. There's a possible 18 people that can do it. It's up to them to do it now and to go out there and prove that they are better than Wigan, hopefully better than Huddersfield, and can stay up in the league this year.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope they're better at keeping their headphones on. But we really, really think that it will be a monster match, that one. I mean, you look at our recent form. God, it is so depressing. But we just have to take it apart from the rest of the season. But there's injury updates. In bad news, Tom Ince won't be back this season, will he?
No. So he had an operation. Noel Hunt did say what part of the body it was on, but no one could pronounce it. Somewhere near the hip. Is what we've been told. We saw him at the training ground today driving his car, so he's still about the place. But he won't be back. It's one of those ones where Noel Hunt said, you know, he was trying really hard at training to get back on it, but the minute if he touched the ball or the minute he got into a sprint, it would have made him out longer and it could have become a 6-month injury rather than a couple of months. So they just decided to take the hit. But Junior Hoylett could be back, which is a positive, someone that can actually cross the ball, which will be a nice bonus. And Mate reckons this weekend could be potentially too quick, but he should be involved in some capacity for the big one in South Yorkshire next week.
Yeah, well, the big one's this weekend. Come on, James, it's the big one against Wigan. it will be. I mean, it will be so lovely to see the stadium, well, virtually full. I mean, who knows, you could get up to 22,000 if the team need the support is right now. We've obviously been part of a campaign to get lots of people wearing blue and white with lots of other fan sites. If you want to do that, do it. It'd be great. And if you don't, that's obviously your own choice as well. But just something to I don't know, add something to the day, possibly.
I'll be donning my blue in the press box. I'll have my running shirt on.
Full kit?
No, not full kit. I'm not going for the shorts yet. The weather's still too unsettling. You know, it's not usually the done thing. Probably frowned upon, but sod it. Rules go out the window when games are this important.
Yeah, yeah, totally. What we'd give for an early goal, though, on Saturday. It doesn't matter who it's from, does it?
That's the key, I think, because the longer it goes on, the more the crowd will get nervy, as it always does. It'll get tense. It'll start being a few sighs, and then that'll go on to the crowd, and then Wigan will love that, because, you know, even they'll know it's a long shot them staying up. It's a bonus if they manage to do it. So they'll be pretty content, I'm sure, to sort of hang in the game and try and nick one late on if they can. They're no mugs, sort of two wins on the bounce. But we're at home. We should, you know, put our game to them, and hopefully sort of the expanded crowds behind it, both goals can suck them in.
Well, one thing Noel Hunt has had since he's come in is a really tough set of games. There's no doubt now, having Burnley, Luton, and then Coventry. This would be the first time he's actually managed to play a team that, you know, they have won their last two games. So I'm not going to disrespect that in any way, and against good opposition, but it's against a team that's lower down the table. So this would be a chance for him to, like, you know, maybe get that vital 3 points. I just want to see the win. I don't care how we play, James. I do not give a shit, to be honest. Mm. I don't care if it's the worst performance of the season. I think we win. Do you feel the same?
Yeah. McDermott was on BBC Barks this morning and he said the same thing. He started off by saying, you know, he hoped the players sort of turned up and had a good game. And then he said, actually, no, I don't care if they turn up. As long as they get the win, that's all that matters. And that's, we're into must-win territory now. And ultimately, you know, if we go out there and play a 10 out of 10 game at draw 0-0 because we miss chances or the keeper has a good game, it means nothing. We've got to, by hook or by crook, get the ball over the line. For me, it might be controversial, but for me, this is the game where we flip the, you know, which way we shoot second half. You know, I know it's tradition that we always shoot towards the north stand, but I just think we just need 1871 and the noise and everything to suck it in. And I know it's going to be full this week, but there's no denying the impact that 1871's had. And if they can suck it in more in the last 5 minutes and you're shooting towards that massive packed out end with a TIFO and whatever else, then, you know, all the better.
Yeah, another 400 in there this weekend as well. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to get to that point now, James, when I'm going to warn you, I'm going to ask for a prediction in a moment. But first of all, just give us your thoughts on last night's kind of like event held by Star at Blue Collar Foo with Mark Bowen, Jared Dublin and Brian Carey. What are your kind of like overall feeling coming away from it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was nice to put, you know, to finally put names to faces, you know, of people that we hadn't necessarily seen before. It was nothing too groundbreaking. You know, there's nothing that we didn't already really know, but it's just nice to hear them talk and have a bit of passion and you know, a plan. But, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. You know, we've got to actually wait and see what they manage to put into place. But no, they all seem very, very nice guys, and hopefully they take the club forward.
That's all we can hope for. And if you want to hear more on our thoughts, me, Alex and Matt, we've just released a podcast, imaginatively named again, Bowen, Carey and Dublin. You know, it's what we do. We do these clever names. So have a listen to that. It goes into far more depth than now. We've just talked about it, all the things that were mentioned last night and our thoughts on it. But here we go, James. This is the moment we're all waiting for. Prediction time. This is the biggest one of the season. What are you going to give us?
Yeah, see, I'm never particularly the optimist. I just think it reeks of a game that's had the build-up that then fall flat. I hope that the team proved me wrong and, you know, this is a new Reading and not the Reading of old. But the Reading of the last 5 or 6 years and the Reading that's, you know, winless in 11. I don't know, I just think it could be a case of getting stage fright and a tense 0-0 draw where nobody really gets the better of anyone and it sort of dwindles and, you know, it doesn't do anything for either team, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm going in hope and hopefully I'm proved wrong.
Yeah, let's hope so. I understand what you're saying. I'm going to do yet another fatal one from me, a completely blind faith one. I'm going to go 2-1. In my heart, I don't really believe that. I've got a real bad feeling about it. But I just, you know, I'm clinging on. The blue and white blinkers are on. And also, I wanted to say thanks to everyone who bought us a beer through EPR Buy a Beer. If you go to elmparkrolls.com and if you've enjoyed the podcast, you can just buy us a beer and we will quite happily drink that. We would appreciate it very much indeed. And all those people that have donated, we'll be reading out your names on the podcast on Saturday. So, well, the review of Saturday anyway. So thanks a lot. And now Matt will be coming up with a Wigan fan. That is going to be tense, isn't it? Wow. Good luck with that, mate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of our preview podcast, previewing, obviously, the huge game down at the bottom this weekend against Wigan. We've, of course, flipped onto the view from the opposition. We're now going to take a look at the Wigan team. And to do so, we have got Barry from the Progress with Unity podcast.
How are you doing, Matt?
Very nervous, I have to say. Yeah, things have been better as a Reading fan of late. It's been, as we said on your podcast, a bit of a fall from grace from earlier in the season. But we've talked about Reading. This is all about Wigan. And obviously, your slight upturn in form of late, which has given you a slight chance, quite small, albeit, but a chance of survival.
Well, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way at all.
I'm trying to G it up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we've been relegated for as soon as we got the 3-point deduction, I thought that would see us off, and I think it has done. But we are playing better. The way most Latics fans are looking at this now is that come next season, we're in League One, we've got the right manager in place to take us forward, and that's... that's the good thing about the situation we're in at the moment. Of course, mathematically, we can still stay up, but we need Huddersfield not to win a game, and to lose one. We need to beat you as well, and you can't win at Huddersfield. You know, there's so many permutations going around because, you know, yourselves and Huddersfield and Blackpool, we can't overtake anybody else. You know, so. Huddersfield's got three games left, so that's a little bit of a blow for us. But Sean Maloney's done the business. He's come in, turned it around. I mean, when you look back at our season and you think, we came up as League One champions and we started the season quite okay and mid-table. When we met you before, earlier, back in September, you were third in the table. We were mid-table and I was delighted with our position. And then things started to go a little bit wrong, and we sacked Liam Richardson. And you think, well, he didn't really deserve to get fired, but I understood a little bit why they did, because they said we wanted to stop in the Championship, and we'd had a little bit of fall from grace. We was down to about 18th of the table at the time. We'd just been beaten by Coventry, but then they went and employed Cole Oturé, and that was like a real head turner, and people were thinking, what on earth are we doing here? And that's how it turned out. You know, what on earth was that all that about? It was an experiment which backfired on us, and that's probably the reason why we're where we are. I'm sure under both Richardson and Maloney, we'd have picked up more points than what we did. We only picked two up in 11 games under Oturé. And the football was absolutely dreadful. Nobody knew what they were doing. It was shocking. So they sacked him. They acted on that. Maloney came in right at the very end of January. He had 2 days of the window. He brought in three players, two of which have been injured and they're out. So that didn't work out too good. But he's changed it round. We're playing football again. He sorted our defence out, so we're a lot more difficult to beat now, even though we lost at Blackpool, which seems a bit criminal to be saying we're difficult to beat losing there. But we are a lot more difficult to beat. So I'm looking forward to Saturday. Looking forward to seeing how we stand up to what is going to be a stern test, because I'm sure you'll come at us. You have to come at us. So I'm looking forward to that. But more importantly, I'm looking forward to next season now with a bit of hope.
Mm. So Sean Maloney, probably for you guys next season, the man to take you guys forward. Taking you three managers this year, but third time lucky for you this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our greatest manager, in my opinion, has been Roberto Martinez, and Maloney is a disciple of his. He actually got his coaching stuff done over at the Ajax Academy, which is where Martinez has all his beliefs around Johan Cruyff. You know, that's where he gets all his inspiration from. So Maloney's been in there. Maloney worked at Belgium with Martinez. And you can see it. You can see the way we play. He sets us up like Martinez did. We play a similar brand of football. It's 10 years since we won the FA Cup as well. I mean, that's our anniversary. It's also 10 years since, along with you and QPR, we were relegated from the Premier League. But Maloney was part of that, so he's in our folklore. He's well respected by the fans, but he's well liked as well. He's a bubbly character, very positive. And he's brought with him Graham Barra, who's the stalwart of the club. He's played for us back in the 80s. He's managed us. He was assistant manager under Martinez, and he's brought him back in. So he's got the teams there set up, ready to go for next season. Callum McManaman's back at the club as well. I don't know what role he's going to be doing with us, whether he's going to be coaching. I don't think he'll be playing. But so he's bringing some of the troops back in, you know, getting the band back together, as people like to say. So really looking forward to next season after what has been very disappointing this year. Absolutely. Absolutely disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wish I would be saying the same about it for what looks like our relegation this season to League One, that I was looking forward to next season. I'm not overly at the moment. That might change over the summer. That might change over the summer, or if we do somehow stay up. But yeah, looking at some of your players for this season as well, obviously there's been one standout, even though potentially not of late until the last few games, obviously in Will Keane. He's always been a really good number 10, second striker type player. But I mean, you look at his numbers in a team that's fighting relegation this year, 12 goals. It's not been a bad season for him, really, all in all.
No, and there's only two of those come from the spot as well. You know, he scores from open play. He's a very intelligent footballer. Like you said, number 10, he reminds me, I mean, he's probably a little bit too old for you, but Martin Peters, he was in the 66 World Cup winning team. He used to ghost around the pitch, and that's how Keane plays. He likes to ghost in at the last minute, gets his head on things. Scored a good goal away at Stoke, scored a good goal against Millwall the weekend. So he's found his scoring boots again. So yeah, he's a good player. He signed a new contract in the summer, so he's under contract for next season. Whether he stays or not is a different matter. I mean, if somebody comes in, offers a couple of million for him, you know, a Championship club wants to take a punt on him, he could very well be off. But I hope he stays. He's a local lad. He knows the club. He knows the club well. He's at his best spell. I think he's very close. You know, he's very close to being our all-time goal scorer in the Football League. And he wasn't always noted as a goal scorer, but he's found a home with Wigan Athletic. I think it's about 14 goals behind Andy Liddle's record of all-time Football League goal scorer. So looking forward to him breaking that next season. Another player, though. What you've not mentioned there, and he gets a lot of stick around the country, but for me, he's been our player of the season this season, is James McLean.
I was going to mention him. Yeah, seven assists for you this year, I think it is, which, again, isn't a bad haul, certainly, for a player like him.
Yeah, and he's top of the tackle charts as well in the Championship. You know, it was his birthday on Saturday. I think he turned 34 on Saturday. So his legs are not what they used to be. But you know what you're going to get. You know, you get 100% out of him, and the away fans or the opposition supporters give him loads of stick. But he does thrive off that. It motivates him. It does motivate him. But he's been tremendous this season. Really good. He's been, for me, he's been the standout player.
They're probably two players at this point as well. I mean, you've mentioned how long both of them have been with the club at this point. I just associate both of them with Wigan at the moment. I know James McCain's had a few clubs before as well, but yeah, they're almost ingrained in Wigan Athletic at this point. So yeah, fingers crossed they can be part of a good season for you guys next year anyway. So looking ahead to the game at the weekend, we've talked about a few games in the past that have had Reading relegated and stuff, the likes of Reading v QPR, when both teams had to win that game and we played out a dreadful 0-0 draw. A lot of Reading fans have referenced that coming into this weekend and that they can see this being similar. What's your prediction? Are you seeing a 0-0 or are you maybe seeing a Wigan win or something?
Well,
win.
Yeah, I think we're going to go for it. I think we're going to go toe to toe with you. And if that's how you play anyway, we like to play with two wide players. We've got James McLean down one side, Callum Lang down the other, and we will attack you down the lines. And I think we're going to go for it. Got a young kid in Tellef Wasgaard. He scored against Millwall, Norwegian, 20 years of age, like an attacking midfield player. He's a bright spark and he always scores important goals, always. So I can see Tello grabbing the winner. And I'm going to push the ball out here, and I think it's going to be an absolute classic of a game. This we're going to beat you by the odd goal in five. I think it's going to go to 3-2 with Tellef Wasgaard, 97th minute winner.
You're just saying that because of the fixture a few years ago where we won in the 97th minute with a 3-2 win. You're just saying it for that, aren't you? You're going to pay us back, I think, for that day.
That was a playoff. Wasn't it? Yes.
Well, it was a relegation playoff. We both, I think, from memory, because I think we both needed a win that day.
Well, I was thinking about the game in, I think it was 2000. Oh, yeah,
no, that was a playoff. Yeah, no, I'm not thinking that far back because I'd only graced the earth for a couple of years then, so I don't remember it.
Been a couple of classics then between us both, haven't
there has. Well, everyone remembers that 3-2. It was 2019, end of 2019, because it was Jose Gomez, end of the season, Yaku Mesa. You were winning 3-2. No, I can't. I'm mucking this up. You were winning 2-1 to the 89th minute. Mo Barrow scores, and then Yaku Mate scored in the last minute to make it 3-2. And that was a relegation six-pointer between us and you. My heart can't do another one of them, I have to say. but sadly, I just can't see Reading winning this weekend. I've not predicted, I say this every week now, I've not predicted a Reading win for quite some episodes now. I think we're up to about eight or nine episodes of these. I could just see it being 1-1, to be honest, or a Wigan win. I hope I'm wrong somehow, and we can somehow pull out a win, but I can't see it. And I think you play a three at the back in a wing back system with McLean one side, I think is it Derrick on the other side. And wide players like that have found freedom against this Noel Hunt side, because we play very narrow, very compact, almost defend the box. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out on the weekend for you. But I'm going to go with 1-1. I don't want it to be another 0-0, because a draw doesn't do either of us any favours. But it relegates us. And it puts us in a very bad situation as well. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up there. We'll, of course, be back with a post-match podcast, obviously reviewing the Wigan game. Fingers crossed we're reviewing a win. If the game is anything like you've teed it up to be, Barry, it's going to be a cracker. I just hope we're on the right side of it. Obviously, you'd probably think that hoping that you're on the right side of it. But thank you so much for joining us today, Barry. Best of luck for the weekend as well, and for the rest of the season, and of course next season. Who knows, we might be catching up again next season. So thanks everyone for listening, and we will catch you at the weekend.
Thanks, Matt.